Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Have you ever tried to change something or to improve something and it just doesn't seem to be working for you? Have you ever had that happen? In the late 2000s, there was an up-and-coming tennis player, and he was rising steadily through the ranks. He was capable of moments of absolute brilliance, but just as often, he would find himself faltering in the middle of a match. He would win one tournament, then find himself having to withdraw in the middle of a match in the next one. He would find himself constantly having breathing issues, having fatigue issues, and it was forcing him to withdraw from matches. So to correct this, he was trying to do everything he could. He trained harder. He improved his fitness. He worked on his technique, his skill sets, used analytics. He even had surgery to try and correct the breathing issue. But still, the issues remained. Still, he would get into matches and then find himself with all sorts of physical tiredness and fatigue. In fact, he was starting to get a reputation on the tour as being a soft player, one who had all kinds of talent, but just didn't have the mentality to make it work. And despite all the effort and every single thing he tried, nothing seemed to be working. And it culminated in the 2010 Australian Open. In the middle of a match, right between sets, he was seen staggering around the court, went over to the sideline, vomiting. As he tried to resume playing, his vision just blurred, and he couldn't catch his breath. Finally, in desperation, he just had to withdraw from the tournament in a moment of agony. The player was Novak Djokovic. He had tried every single thing he could think of, but something was missing. Something was preventing him from benefiting from all of the training, all of the talent, all of the hard work he was putting in. Something was keeping him from being the player he knew he could be. And he needed, absolutely needed to know what that missing piece was, and he didn't, and he was so frustrated. It turns out the missing piece he needed was a person. See, Dr. Igor Tredovich was also watching that particular match. And as he observed what was going on with Novak Djokovic, he thought he understood. He thought he knew what was going on, something that to this point everyone else around him had missed. So when he got in contact with Novak, they ran him through some tests, and what Dr. Igor thought was happening was actually what's happening. It turned out that Novak's body was incredibly sensitive to gluten, dairy, and refined sugars. His diet was literally poisoning him. As he was trying and elevating his level over and over again, his diet would continually fight against his body. And so the doctor worked with him, worked to set up a whole new diet, a whole new regimen, and all of a sudden, immediately, Djokovic sensed something was different. All of a sudden, all this training that he was putting in, and all the work and all the effort was starting to pay off, starting the rewards. He now found the missing element, the thing that was preventing all that training from coming to fruition. And the results paid off almost immediately. The very next year, Djokovic won 3 of the 4 major tournaments and just kept winning and winning and winning after that till he won 24 major tournaments, more than any other man in the history of tennis. See, despite seemingly doing all the right things and all the right activities, he was missing something. There was a key element that was not able to take all that effort and turn it and actually transform him into being a great tennis player. Have you ever had something in your life that you tried to grow and tried to change? Maybe it was a habit. Maybe it was a desire. Maybe it was an attitude that you were trying to change and you were trying to grow in. You've tried so many things, but only seemed to find frustration. Nothing seems to work for any length of time. You'll come up with a plan. It will work really, really well for a little while. But then you stumble, or the circumstances in your life change, And then you find yourself right back where you were. Only now, you're much more frustrated. Maybe you too, at some point in your life, have said, there's got to be something missing. There's got to be something I'm missing. There has to be something else that can help me really change, that can help me really, really grow. Well, today, we're going to talk about that missing element. We're going to talk about that key that can help us sustain change, that can help us grow. And that key is also a person. Now, for the past couple of months, we've been on this journey of learning what it looks like to actually follow Jesus. And we've talked about if we want to be followers of Jesus, we have to take the time and we have to be with Jesus, we have to become like Jesus, and we have to do what Jesus did. And as we've talked about what it looks like to do that, we've talked about the process and the habits and the things that we need to do that are going to help us become a follower of Jesus. We talked about things like teaching. Whenever we listen to sermons or podcasts, we do Bible studies or read books that can help us. Or community, our relationships with the body of believers, with our friendships, even our community groups, are things that are necessary to help us grow. And then there's the practices and disciplines, things like scripture reading and prayer and fasting and journaling and all those type of things are all great habits that will help us. These practices and rhythms are good and they are deeply necessary for us to follow Jesus. But while they are necessary, by themselves, they are insufficient for us to truly change and become more like Jesus. There's something missing. Let me give you an example of what I mean here. When I was in high school, I had a friend named Andy. And as Andy and I became friends, our dads became friends. My dad became friends with his dad, Mike. And when we met Mike, Mike was a practicing atheist. And he told my dad something really, really fascinating one time. He said, I used to go to church, and I went to church for years. Mike was plugged in to his church. He went every single week. He built connections. He built friendships. He built relationships over the course of years. Mike had community. What was also interesting is Mike's reason for having community. He specifically went to church and built the relationships because he knew those relationships would be great for his business. He built relationships in the church for business reasons. Mike had community, but by itself, community was no guarantee of becoming more like Jesus. Maybe you've experienced the insufficiency of one of these things in your own life. Maybe you've memorized all the passages that have to do with greed, but you're just still so tempted for the next purchase. There's always more things you want, more things you need, and you can't seem to get out of the cycle. Maybe you've sat through hours and hours of teaching on healing from past trauma, but the hurt is still so raw and still so present, and that anger and bitterness just so creep up in your life. Or maybe you've been in a situation where you've been doing all three of these things on a regular basis for years, and that despite all of your efforts, you just feel stuck. You're doing the right things, but progress seems incredibly elusive. It's discouraging. And it's frustrating. And you might think, there must be something missing. And the answer is, there is. The practices themselves are insufficient. There needs to be something else, something that connects all of these things, something that's going to enable and turn those three things and all the work we do into actual change, into actual real transformation. And that something is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit, and how does he actually change? Today, we're going to explore the Holy Spirit's power and why that is the only way that we can really change, that we can really grow and become more and more like Jesus. Now, just a quick primer on the Holy Spirit. If you were with us a number of weeks ago, we went through this in a little bit more detail. We're going to go through relatively quickly. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Our God is one God, but three persons. And the Holy Spirit is one of those persons. And the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. The Holy Spirit is the way that we will experience the life of God within us. The Holy Spirit will help us become more like Jesus. He will empower and equip us. And he will teach us and communicate with us. So let's explore the Holy Spirit and some of the roles he's going to do in our life and how he helps us change with some of the words from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. It says this, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So let's take a moment and break down a little bit about what Paul's saying here. In this passage, in the larger context, Paul is comparing the Old Testament and what they had in the Old Testament to now what life is like after Jesus has arrived. And now how in the new covenant, we have Jesus in our life. And he specifically references a story from Moses when he was coming down after receiving the Ten Commandments. But what Paul is getting at here is the role of the Spirit. And there's three specific things that the Spirit does to help us transform that Paul talks about in this passage. The first one is the Spirit provides us with the ability to see clearly. That's that idea of the veil being taken away. And what this means is that once we start following Jesus, once we commit to following Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to our life and enables us to see things we weren't able to see before. To be able to have clarity, to be able to have understanding in ways that we were not able to see before we had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also provides us for freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom to have a relationship with God, to hear from him, to communicate with him. And the Holy Spirit also provides the power of transformation, that real power to change, that real power to become more and more like Jesus. You see, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key element that joins all of the different practices together that helps us create change and transformation in our life that make us more like Jesus. Here's how this works. Pastor and author, John Mark Comer, who wrote the book Practicing the Way, here's what he says about the practices. The practices, those three circles we talked about earlier, opens us up to a power from beyond us, the power to change. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look a little bit about how this works. When we engage in teaching or community or disciplines, it opens up our hearts, it opens up our minds, and it opens up our souls, and it provides space and room for the Holy Spirit to start operating in our lives. And the Holy Spirit then works within us to transform us to become more like Christ. Here's some examples. Maybe you've been listening to a sermon or a teaching, and whoever's up on stage says something, and you're just thinking to yourself, oh man, he must be talking about me. He must be talking about me. This is exactly what I'm going through. Or maybe you've looked at the person sitting next to you and like, did you tell her my story? Did you tell them? Do they know this? Maybe you've experienced something like that. Or maybe you've been in a teaching and you heard exactly what you needed to hear at the exact right moment. That's the Holy Spirit using that practice of teaching and using it to start transforming you and to give you an opportunity to respond. Or maybe you've been praying, and you've been praying, and all of a sudden somebody popped into your mind, and you just had the idea that you were supposed to pray for this person. That's the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention and direct you towards something that you are now able to see thanks to the Holy Spirit that maybe you weren't able to see and sense before. I can give you loads of personal examples of this happening in my life, but I will give you one that kind of ties a bunch of these together. It was 2017. In fact, I looked up the exact date on this because I have it in my journal. It was June 6th, 2017. And I'd been in a season in my life where I wasn't sure what was going on. So I was reading in 2 Corinthians, this very chapter that we were talking about this morning. I was reading in 2 Corinthians, and I was spending some time. I read the scriptures. I was also reading a book on like how to have a great life, like from a Christian author. And I'm journaling. And as I'm journaling, I'm just getting my frustrations out. I'm like, I don't think I'm living the right life. I don't think I'm doing this. And as I'm journaling, I just got the sense of God saying something to me. And God says this, you are too comfortable. You are too comfortable. I need you to take more risks. And I'm writing this down and I'm journaling this. And it's just the Holy Spirit saying, you need to push yourself. You need to trust me and move forward. And I journaled about that and I wrote about it. God was speaking to me through some of those practices. And I remembered it wasn't that much longer as I was processing this and trying to figure out what this was that my dad contacted me and wanted me to go with him to Kenya to help lead a conference where I would be teaching leadership to Kenyan pastors. So I decided, well, this seems to be aligning right. So that's what I'm going to do. And along the way, the Holy Spirit, in addition to using some of those teachings and some of those practices, the Holy Spirit in my life used community. See, have you ever had this situation where a person gets put in your life? Maybe it was even for a very short season, and they had some level of impact on you. Maybe they were there to challenge you or to encourage you or to give you a specific opportunity. Well, on that trip to Kenya, I met Bishop Anthony. And Bishop Anthony was the head of the BIC churches in Kenya. And it was his conference that we were speaking at. He was the host of the conference, and he was bringing in pastors from all over Kenya to speak. And when I arrived at this conference, and I was supposed to be one of the three main speakers for this conference this week, I was not sure of myself or sure of my gifts. I was not sure that I should be there up on stage with a group of pastors from a country I'd never been to and did not know, that I was supposed to teach them on leadership. And Bishop Anthony provided me with a tremendous amount of encouragement. And he gave me a platform. And he gave me an opportunity that I had never had before. And he even provided me with some challenge too. In fact, one day he said to me, he's like, after lunch, you will speak on this. I was not planning on speaking on that after lunch. So there was some challenge involved in there. But that trip and that relationship with Bishop Anthony was critical to my growth and to my development. In fact, it was critical to me ending up here. Bishop Anthony even wrote me a letter of recommendation when I applied here. That was the Holy Spirit using the practice of community to help me grow and to help me change. John Mark Comer again. It's his power, the Spirit's power, and his alone that can change, that can heal, that can fix, that can renew the most damaged corners of our soul. For us to experience real change, for us to heal, for us to become more like Jesus, we need to center the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to go about doing the practices. And as we go about doing the practices, to keep the Holy Spirit in the center. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives as we go about the day and doing the things we're doing. So let me ask you this question. Are there areas of your life where you sense that the Holy Spirit might be working? Is there an area of your life right now where you sense that the Holy Spirit might be trying to get a hold of you, that might be trying to speak to you, that might be trying to help you to grow or to change? So if this is how the Holy Spirit works, how do we make sure we experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives so that we can change, so that we can grow? How do we make sure that we are not operating in our lives on a daily basis without Him? How do we make sure we're not operating out of our own strength, or that we're just using the various practices as some kind of a formula where we do these things and all of a sudden we're closer to God? Well, there are three things. There are three things I want to talk about today. Three tips that we can use that will help us experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to become more like Jesus. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the book Stuff Christians Like. It's kind of a humorous book where he looks at, kind of makes fun and pokes fun at Christians. And this is one of the ones, something Christians like, leaving room for the Holy Spirit when you dance. Insert the Holy Spirit in here. So make sure you got enough space in there. But that's the first one. We need to leave room for the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to leave room for the Holy Spirit. It really, really helps. If we want to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need, absolutely need, to want and expect to hear from Him. We need to want and expect to hear from Him. It is so much harder to hear and experience the Holy Spirit if we are closed off to Him. And there's lots and lots of reasons why we might be closed off to the Holy Spirit. Some of it might have to do with our personality or our background. Maybe you grew up in a religious context that was very skeptical of the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's hard for you to jump in and engage with it. Maybe your personality type is you're very analytical. You want to see facts and you want to see data. So the very idea of trusting a spirit is difficult for you. It's hard. Maybe some of you are brand new to faith and all of this seems unusual and strange and weird. But also, in addition to that, many of us can not be open to the Holy Spirit for very practical reasons. Sometimes we're busy. The more busy we are, the harder it is to hear from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's our emotions. Sometimes we're angry or hungry or tired, and it makes it harder just because of our human condition or human emotions. Sometimes we are so good at drowning ourselves out with entertainment, activity, noise, that it makes it harder for us to hear from the Holy Spirit. So what do we do about this? How do we leave room for the Holy Spirit? There's a couple things that I can recommend. There's lots of different ways you can do this, but there's two things I want to talk about. One is, I think one of the key elements for us is we need to pray. Prayer is important, and there's very simple, very easy prayer that we can pray that can help us get on the right track if we want to experience the Holy Spirit. And this is a simple prayer that I use all the time, and it's just simply this: God, open me up to whatever the Spirit has for me. You can pray it in the morning. God, open me up to whatever the Spirit has for me today. If you're in a tough situation, God, open me up to whatever your Spirit is trying to tell me in this situation. In fact, this is one of the things I would do every time I worked on the sermon this week, is like, God, open me up to whatever your Spirit is trying to tell me about this message. And it's just a simple way to create an attitude and a posture that makes us open to experiencing the Spirit, and that helps us expect to hear from the Spirit. So it's a really simple way that can realign our posture and realign our attitudes to help us. Another one is practice quiet space and silence. Some of us, including me, this is really hard. I don't like silence. I don't. I always have to be doing something or listening to something or anything like that. So this one is harder for me. And it might be harder for some of you. But when we have that space, when we have that silence, that creates room to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and speak to us. One of the tricks I personally found for this is sometimes when I'm going like on a long run or an easy run, I will just turn back my music so it's real soft, or sometimes I'll even turn it off, and I'll just not listen to anything, and I'll just create that space. My body is doing something, but my mind is clear, And it's amazing how often stuff comes to me in those moments where I can sense the Spirit talking to me or even helping me generate ideas or anything along those lines. It's amazing how much that works. So maybe for you, that looks like a hike, or it looks like a trip out in the boat, or a trip fishing, or something like that. But find a place to practice some space and some silence. That can help you leave room for the Holy Spirit. The second thing, recognize the Spirit at work. The second thing we need to do, once we leave space for the Spirit, we need to be able to recognize the voice of the Spirit. And this is not always easy. I can remember I took a group of high school youth to a conference, and it had been a really good conference. We came out of one of the specific sessions. There's just been a great worship session. There was a great speaker. And as we're walking back to the dorms where we were staying, I saw one of my high school guys just looking weird. He had this weird look on his face. So I go up to him and I was like, all right, what's going on? He's like, I feel weird. I'm like, okay, all right, tell me a little bit more. What's going on? First, I thought like he ate something bad because that's usually what it is with teenagers. But he starts telling me a little bit more. I can't remember exactly how he describes it, but the more he starts telling me, I was like, oh, I know what's going on here. So I said, you know what that is, right? God's talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit trying to talk to you. He's like, what? It was like he never even contemplated it. It was the first time he'd gotten the sense of this. And so it was a cool moment because he was excited that God was talking to him, and I was excited that I got to explain that to him and help him with that. Also, that's what community is good for. And that goes back to this idea, the practices open us up, and then the Spirit comes in, and then we need to recognize it. And community is a great way to do that, because community can help us process it. Maybe it's a trusted friend, maybe it's your community group. If you're not sure if something is of the Holy Spirit, ask somebody close to you. Ask them and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm hearing. Help me process this. I think a general rule of thumb is it something that's calling you to become more like Jesus and live a more faith-filled life? That's a good test for anything like that. So the third thing we need to do is we need to respond. We need to respond. And this is the critical element for us of this entire process. This might be the most critical element. See, once we've recognized the Holy Spirit is at work and is speaking in our lives, the next step is, what do we do with it? Do we respond? Do we listen and follow the Holy Spirit in those moments? Are we willing to let the Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, and transform us? Now, there's an interesting story of a time where someone was faced with this question, and that's in Acts chapter 9. And this is right after Saul converts to Jesus. He has that experience in Damascus, and Paul is still in Damascus, and God is going to contact a man named Ananias. It says, in Damascus, there is a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come to him and place his hands on him to rescue his sight, or restore his sight. So the Spirit comes to Ananias and gives him a specific thing. He says, go here, go to this specific street, go meet with this specific person. There was a problem. That specific person was Saul. And Ananias has, let's just say, a few questions about this particular assignment. Verse 13, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. He has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. So there's the catch, isn't it? Ananias is like, God, are you sure about this one? Are you sure? You know who Saul is, right? You know who this guy is. Like, he's the guy who's like trying to jail us and persecute us and murder us. Are you sure you want me to just walk in and present myself to this guy? He's got a choice to make in this moment, doesn't he? Is he gonna listen? Is he gonna follow the Spirit wherever it leads? Now, for each of us, it's the same thing. When we experience the voice of the Holy Spirit, we have a choice to make. Are we going to listen? Are we going to follow the Holy Spirit? It isn't easy. In fact, sometimes it's hard and it's downright scary. God, you sure you want me to forgive that person? Really? Him? Her? God, you want me to go where? God, you want me to actually like confess that struggle? Like to another actual person? You want me to tell that out loud? God, are you really asking me to give that up? If we remember our 2 Corinthians passage, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit gives us freedom from those things, and he also gives us the power of transformation. If we lean into the Spirit, if we are willing to do it, if we are willing to listen to the Spirit and follow his guidance, that's how we change. That's how we grow. Not in our own strength, but in his. So how do we do this? How do we become more like Jesus? We do the practices. We make room for the Spirit. We recognize the Spirit's voice, and then we respond and follow what the Spirit is telling us. Ananias went to that house, and he entered it. Are we willing to do the same? Are you open to what the Holy Spirit has for you today? Are you open? Is he trying to tell you something right now? If you want to respond today, on your connection card, there's an opportunity. Maybe you need to work on one of these things specifically. Maybe you need to work on being more open to what the Holy Spirit is. Or maybe you really want to work on recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it's the acting part. I hear this. I hear what you're saying, God. I'm just not sure I want to do it. I need to work on that. Respond. Go ahead and check that off. I'd love to be praying for you this week. Today is the day we can have the Holy Spirit in our life. And with the Holy Spirit comes the power to create real change, to become more like Jesus.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.